Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, this morning I want to talk about part three of God's strategies to restore your soul. And you have to forgive me this morning. My voice is a little off, and I have a little bit of recovering from something, and so it's I'm going to do my best. I fully trust God, so that's good. But part three of God's strategies to restore your soul, and we're going to talk about our identity in Him. And what He's, by God establishing our identity, how He restores our soul with that. Because when you become aware by revelation and truth and awareness of the Word of God, who you actually are to God, it sets you free on every part of who you are inside. Because you got the living God inside of you. Thank you, Bob. You got the living God that loves you so profoundly that often, you know, because of walking in the flesh and seeing darkly and seeing with our five senses in the natural, there's often this awareness that God loves us so deeply just isn't there often. And often we do have to walk by faith in that, and that's part of our journey, and that's fully okay. But when you have a revelatory encounter with God about how much He loves you and who He's made you to be, and it enables you not to compare yourself to anybody else, and you start walking out who you've actually been called to do, and you start doing things with excellence unto God and not for any other pressure in life, it actually restores your soul profoundly, because that's what true peace is like, when you just live out who you actually are in Him. And so we want to talk about that a little bit. So one of God's strategies to restore your soul is to establish who you really are. In all of the relational interaction between you and God, He will speak who He made you to be to your soul. Now, here's the thing that I often say to people in counseling or other places is that we hear the scripture, we have not because we ask not. And often we think what we ask for God is usually things or possessions or money or where we're going to live, how we're going to live. It's usually out here what we're doing in strength for God. And those are legitimate things to ask for. We're supposed to ask for all those things. But when we talk about the first commandment being formed inside of us and loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, when we ask God to show us what He thinks of us, He's going to answer that prayer for you. But we have not sometimes because we ask not. Literally, some of us walk by faith and we're not asking God to show us what He thinks of us or how He feels about us. Now, it doesn't mean He's going to answer immediately. It doesn't mean anything, but we just don't ask for those things. Sometimes we feel like we should know those things already, and that's part of walking in faith. We just have faith that God loves us and we keep going. But in every relational interaction with God, what He wants to do inside of you is show you who you are to Him, because it sets you free. Galatians 5:1 says it is for freedom that He sets you free. He wants you to enjoy freedom. And so part of this is to establish deep within you who you already are to Him. When you were born again, you became a brand new creature, and God wants you to ask Him who you are. And that's what He'll do. A lot of the prophetic words that you receive, or the interaction that you receive with others, or somebody encourages you, they start to see who you actually are in the Spirit. And we're looking beyond our weaknesses, our frailties, our brokenness, and we're looking to see who you are really to God. And that's where often the prophetic word comes from. It's to build up and encourage and inspire and to tell people what's really happening. Now, you have a consistent enemy that is attacking who you are all the time in this world. If you look into this world, look at the identity crisis out there. Just in the natural, in the world itself, apart from God, there's an identity crisis like nothing I've ever seen in you know, my life on earth. And I'm sure some of you that have lived longer than I have, I mean, we couldn't even imagine some of the things people are talking about right now. They're, you know, trying to define who they are in the natural, and there's chaos in that, and there's emotional chaos in that. There is great freedom in walking in who God made you to be. In John, 1 John 3:1, John says, "Behold the manner of love the Father has for us." Now, I just want to read that again. "Behold the manner of love the Father has for us." What he's actually saying is, I want you to focus on how much God loves you. Or I want you to focus on the manner of love that God has for you. Or another way is, focus on the quality of love that the Father has for you. Meaning, if you want to do some meditation and you want to do it in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you sit down and you ask God, you actually have somewhat of a command there: behold the manner of love that God has for you. Now, this is an ongoing relational journey between you and God. This isn't just something that you're supposed to know how to do right now. But in under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit, asking God, what do you think of me? He says, behold and meditate on the manner of love that God has for you. Now, again, this is going to be profoundly attacked. You're going to get bored of asking sometimes. You're going to feel like, well, this is a waste of time, or those kind of things. But always remember that God's strategy to restore your soul is to establish who you really are to Him. Jesus called it in John 15:9, He called it abiding in love. John calls it beholding the manner of love. It is the same exhortation. What John is actually saying here is, do not move on. Behold it, steady it, focus on it, lay hold of it, lock into this, and go deep all your days in this. Now, in the basic component of the Great Commission, we know from John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I love that little word, so. It could have said God loved the world. And there's this legal arrangement between God and the world. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the idea is, God so loved the world, we are to meditate on that particular reality. Now, here's the point. That you don't do this just because it's right to do. You do this because this is one of the Father's strategies to renew and restore your soul to who you already are in the Spirit. When you were born again, 2 Corinthians 5 says you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That is a profound reality. That is worth meditating on as well. What does a brand new creature look like? It said old things have passed away. You're the man of sin is crucified with Christ. It is no longer you that live, but Christ that lives His life in you, Galatians 2:20, and through you. So the sinful temptations that you feel after your conversion is deception of some type, and carnality and behavior and those kind of things. And so we have to walk out of sin in the grace of God. But according to Romans 6, the man of sin has been dealt with in the power of God through the cross. That means that we have this profound victory. But a lot of people still, at a core level, on the soulish level, your mind, will, and emotions are still walking around saying to themselves, I'm no good. I don't measure up. My daddy told me this, my mommy told me this, or whatever it is. And life experience fed into this experience. And emotionally, a lot of people would never admit it, but they're saying it to themselves all the time. I can't do this. This is too much for me. This why, you know, and a lot of that type of self-talk is actually going on inside of us, and we have those type of emotions. But the truth is, the sinful nature has been dealt with in the cross. And 2 Corinthians 5 says we're brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's why evangelism is so glorious. When somebody comes into this profound miracle of salvation, this massive reality has begun to happen inside of them. It is a glorious reality. But the enemy, if he loses your soul to God, he loses your spirit, you know, your brand new spirit inside of you, he's going to attack your soul consistently. He's going to lie to you about who you are. He's going to take every experience you've had and try to mold long-term lies into your life that cause you to react or give up or turn away from God, because he's going to fight you with everything in him. Because that's, he does not want you to become victorious. He doesn't want you to feel free. When we focus on God's love to us, he will direct us back to his word and speak to us directly about who we are. The reality is ultimately received by faith, because there's so many times that you don't feel the reality of being loved or who you really are. So you start with faith, but the enemy tricks you. He tries to say, when you start with faith, you need to walk in faith from this point forward, and don't talk to God about this anymore. You should know this now. See that little trick? You should know this. You should know God loves you. So don't bother talking to him about it anymore. Talking to God about whether he loves you or not, to translate it into your soul and renew your mind with that reality, the enemy tries to make you feel like it's a failure for you to do that, that you've already failed. But that's not what God is asking of us. He wants us to be completely dependent upon him in these areas. So when you start walking out who God made you to be, this is what he's going to do. When your soul starts being renewed with who you are, 2 Corinthians 5 then says that you are called by God, that new creature inside of you. He calls that new creature, whoever that is, with God living in you now, you're an ambassador of reconciliation. Now, we've talked about that before, but it's whether you're mad, glad, sad, or bad in the flesh and in the natural, this truth about you in the spirit is still there. You're an ambassador of reconciliation. An ambassador is an agent of heaven for transformation and reconciliation. It says that it's as if God is pleading through you, get reconciled back to him. You are an ambassador of reconciliation. If you are out evangelizing and bringing the lost to Jesus in the act, you know, the act of salvation, but you're also an ambassador of reconciliation. If you become a peacemaker in relationships, you become somebody that restores relationship or stands in the gap, or you become an intercessor in that sense. So God will start pushing you out. He'll start saying, I want you to know who you are. I want you to understand the power that you carry. I want you to be in the world as an ambassador of reconciliation. So when your identity is renewed to truth, you stop thinking about all these thoughts of failing. I'm not measuring up. I'm not like that person in church, or I'm not like them. I don't receive from God like that. And you stop thinking about all that drama of that, and you start going, God made me an ambassador of reconciliation. I'm going to have a unique flavor in the world. There's no one like you. And he starts calling you out in whoever you are in that reality. You do not have to become like anybody else. You are not called to do what others are doing. The body of Christ is incomplete without its full motion of every member taking their place. Some of them are much more visible. Some of them are not visible. Some people respond to God dramatically. Some don't. They take it inch by inch and faith by faith. And so it just doesn't matter how it's working for you, but you hold on to God and keep walking it out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men." He's saying, I can't talk to you like I'm engaging your spirit right now. I can't talk to you about mature things in God. Because he said what they're doing, he said, I got to talk to you as men of flesh, or as in infants in Christ. See, Paul had to change somewhat depending on the spiritual environment he was in. And so what he says is, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. For you are not able to receive it. Meaning,
if you're still, and this doesn't disqualify anybody at all, but what we want to do is stir you onto the journey of finding out who you really are. You know what? It won't take long if you ask God. His leadership plan for you is to always bring you back to that. Who did God really make you to be? Well, first, he's going to settle it. He's going to say, I want you to be a lover of God, number one, first commandment. Number two, you know, there's so many identity things in the Bible. Here, I'll just name a couple because I won't have time at all to deal with this. You're a child of God. You're called to sonship. This is for men and women. This speaks to the power and privilege of being a firstborn son, often from Jewish custom, but he declares that God bestowed this upon everybody. He's predestined us, Ephesians 1:5, to adoptions as son through Jesus Christ to himself. You just bypassed the angels. You became children of God. But then there's other places in Scripture that said, no, wait a minute. You are called to be friends of the bridegroom. You're called to be the bride of Christ, which is a more intimate relationship with God. Both men and women are called to be the bride of Christ. It's again just it's an identity structure is the bride of Christ. You're that close to God. That's what you have access to. The angels are servants. And literally they marvel at who are the sons of men and the daughters of men. Who are these people that God loves them so much and he lives in them and he calls them to be children and the bride of Christ and in his image. They were created in his image. They are called warriors, according to Romans 8:37, part of a conquering army. The spirit of adoption, we're allowed to call him Abba Father, which is kind of a tender term, like daddy, and so on. You know, if you just look through the Bible and you say, let me find myself here, I'm telling you, think of how much you could meditate on all those different terms. There's passages of Scripture written on your identity, who you actually are to God. We've got to stop thinking so much about who we are to the world. And we start thinking about who we are to God, and who we are to the world will take care of itself. Because when he says move, we go. When he says jump, we jump. Because we start fixating on the one who created us, who loves us, who gave his all for us. So Paul is saying, in back to 1 Corinthians 1:3, he says, I'm giving you milk to drink, not solid food. You can't receive the solid food. Indeed, even now you're not able. In verse 3, for you are still fleshly. You're still fleshly. Now you get fleshly when you have identity crisis. Because you're constantly working through lie-based thinking that's hindering you and hitting you. Or you're working through your anger issues. Or you're working through the soulless realities or those kind of things. But you're not alone there. A lot of people struggle there. And they again think, I shouldn't be better than this by now. But you cannot be better in the flesh. Remember, that old man is dead. You got to focus on who God's already made you to be. When you focus on Jesus, you're going to get less and less sinful. Or you also can focus on Jesus and he will convict you of sin inside of you. And if you stop blaming other people around you. And we blame other people often because we're not sure who we are. That's the core reality. If you blame other people all the time, it's because you're not fully aware of who you are in God. Remember the strategy of choosing humility? Jesus said, choose humility because I want to restore your soul. This is the same theme. He's restoring your identity in this. So Paul says, you're fleshly. I can't talk to you about meat in the spirit. Okay? For since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Now, the father, the apostle, just said, if there's strife and jealousy among you, you're walking like mere men. That's an apostolic rebuke that gives you a little bit of a measuring stick to where you want to go in the grace of God. And there will be no jealousy and no strife if you become aware of who you are in the Spirit, walking with God. It's the same Scripture that says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of your flesh. Walking in the Spirit isn't just walking in the Holy Spirit. It is, actually. It's big that way. but it's also walking by the Spirit, which means you're walking by the new man inside of you and not your flesh. That's walking in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh if you walk in your new identity in God. And so that's what he's doing is he establishes identity inside of you and it renews your soul and restores it. And then your spirit can walk more effortlessly with God because your soul is your mind, will, and emotion is not resisting the Holy Spirit anymore. Now, you're not just going to think one day, I'm going to wake up and do this. God has made it so that we are utterly dependent upon him. I can tell you that if I don't spend time with God, I'm a meaner, grouchier man than when I do spend time with God. I'm in process. I'm being renewed. But if I go for a couple days and I don't really connect with God, I'm much more triggered. I'm much more hostile. I'm much more selfish. I much more look out for myself than think of this whole notion of loving somebody else. My wife's nodding real big. I got you. So Paul says, goes on and says that there's some that they were talking, basically what they were saying is, some of you are from Apollos and some are you from Paul and some are you doing this and this is, we're following this guy and so on and so forth. And Paul's rebuking them all about all that. And then he says basically this, in your new identity, some of us are going to plant the seed. Some of us are going to water the seed. Some of us are going to actually harvest the seed. But it's God that gives the full increase to all of that. That means that we don't compare ourselves about who we're called to be in God. I had a situation happen the other day. I was minding my own business. I was doing something. I come to Concord Mall. I had dropped something off. And all of a sudden, I felt like it was lunchtime. I thought, I usually buy a Subway sub for lunch. And I thought, I just had this feeling, go into Concord and get lunch real quick. And so I did that. And usually just buy one sub, nothing else, ask for a glass of water. And so then, I'm doing that. And I, all of a sudden, on my phone had dinged and I got a Subway special. And so I could get, if I bought a meal, I could get another 6-inch sub. But I was like, I would never eat all that right now. So I don't want to do that. And I felt, all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Spirit said, do this. I thought, that's interesting. So I thought, well, I'll save it for later. I bought it. It was, just down there. And I walked out. And when I had walked into the mall, there was a young man in headphones on the bench. He didn't pay any attention to me. He was just sitting there. And when I walked out, I saw him again, and the Holy Spirit said, give him that sub. And I thought, that's kind of awkward. I mean, he didn't look like he needed it or anything like that. And I had this bag, and so I walked up to him, and he said, he kind of looked at me funny, and he had this music blasting, and so I just pointed at the bag, and I said, are you hungry? And he goes, what? And he said, are you hungry? And he goes, well, kind of. I said, do you want some lunch? I guess, I guess so. So I pulled the sub out, and I said, here, you can have this. He goes, thank you. And, they thought it was it. And then I felt the flow of what God wanted me to say. So I just said to him, you want to know why I just did that? And he goes, yeah. I said, because God told me to come over and give this to you, but he wants you to know that he loves you and that he's after your heart, something like that. I can't remember the exact words. And he about flipped out. And I couldn't figure out why at that point he did. He said, this is crazy, crazy. He said, I just had a lady an hour and a half ago say the exact same thing to me today. He said, I wasn't even supposed to be at Concord Mall. I just happened this morning to hit my eye appointment here. And he said, this is weird. It's weird because you just said the exact same thing she did. Now, I would have never known that. And the lunch thing, it kind of gave me an end to that. So he was like befuddled. I said, well, hey, can I pray for you? Can I, I started talking to him. He started pouring out his heart to me and saying, I grew up in the church. And he named a church around here. And he said, I grew up here. I just, you know, all this stuff was going on. And then he had, you know, he just shared all this. He said, but I've been away from God since I was a teenager. And he was probably in his 30s. And he said, I said, well, it sounds like God's trying to get a hold of you. And he goes, man, I know. I said, you know how to get back to him? He goes, yeah, I do. I know what to do. I said, well, can I pray for you? And he said, sure. And I prayed for him. And he was just beside himself because God was getting his attention. Now, this is the point I wanted to make with that story. I was doing nothing. I was thinking nothing about working for God or doing anything like that. But what I have done at some level, however imperfect in my life, is I've cultivated a relationship with the Lord. I've asked the Lord what he's thinking of me. I'm getting secure enough in my identity where stopping people, I never used to like to bother people. I would always think I'm going to bother them. I always felt I was bad at evangelism. But this time, I didn't even have to work through it. I felt God's voice, and I felt like he set it up. That doesn't mean you're always going to get these type of stories at the end. I've had the other. But it's the point is that you knowing who you are in God and knowing those simple things and listening to what he says and just listening to what he's doing and just follow through with it, it becomes a natural way of living the Christian life. And it's a glorious reality. I was energized after that little testimony. I was like, wow, that was so cool. But if you plant, if you go and hug somebody, or you plant the word to them, or you care for them, or you love them, or you're watering the word that's already in them, or you actually become a harvester, and you see people born again or healed and saved and delivered, then it doesn't matter what's happening. God is the one giving the increase. And if you know who you are, you can become the best planter there is, because heaven's evaluation system knows who planted, who watered, and who harvested. We like the harvesters. We like those guys and gals that can go out there. They feel like they got everything in order and they can do all these things openly. But heaven does not evaluate them that way. They're looking at who's doing it all underneath here. So if you're doing things that are seemingly boring, so to speak, in the kingdom of God, don't forget the role you're playing and how God sees you. And when you're secure in your identity, none of it matters to you anyway. Because you rejoice when you see others harvesting or watering or those type of testimonies. And you're just a step away from those things by yourself. But when you start to understand who you are. Now I want to just talk a little bit with the time remaining I have, that we're new creatures completely with every natural identification superseded by who you are in the Spirit. We get into massive debates about who we are in the natural. Like right now, transgender. We're defining people by gender. We're defining people by their sexuality. We're defining people by, their title, their esteem, their prestige in the world. But God doesn't see any of that. He's evaluating you by who you are in the Spirit. So when you become a brand new creature and you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So why bother focusing all on them anyway? You start choosing to walk in the Spirit, and he will lead you into righteousness and holiness. And righteousness and holiness isn't a dead religion to God. He doesn't tell you to do that just because it's right, although I would do it because it's right. It's safe there. He does it because it sets you free. It makes you who you fully are in God. You know what holy really means? Full. Holy means you're fully who you are, really. Kind of an idea. That's what holy is when you start studying that word. It just means that you're holy God's. The first commandment becomes your main priority being formed in you, loving God with everything in you. And so Galatians 3:27 says, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." I keep feeling the Lord right now just keep saying that He wants all of you to begin to step out. He really does. You know, there's times when we grapple with things that God's called us to and we grapple with it for 10 years. I mean, I've done some of this in my own life. I've grappled with, you know, stepping out. What does stepping out mean to you? It's different for me. I don't want you to think I'm saying, you know, you got to do all this kind of stuff. But I just feel like the Lord is saying, don't you know who you really are? I just feel the intensity of Him just saying, go for it. Some of you, God has said you have healing gifts inside of you. Go for it. You won't see anybody healed if you don't put your hands on them and pray for that. Some of you have evangelistic gifts inside of you. Go for it. I know I do. I know I do, like in my own life, in what God has trained me into, that when I'm out in public, He's going to set things up for me. And I've talked to many people, but I'm at this place now where it's going, what am I wrestling through? Let's just see what God wants to do here and step out and be glorious. You know, if you get rejected, who cares? You know, I'll share this again just to encourage you all. I was at Harding's in Middlebury, and Harley Davidson guy, he had a coat on, and he was kind of, you know, and he was walking around, and I felt God say, "You tell that man I love him." And I saw him, and I literally turned around, and I went through this thing. You know, I think that was just me, you know, that kind of thing. I went down this aisle, then I saw him again. And it was one of those things. I went around the store, then I thought, okay, I'm going to go check out real quick and maybe he'll disappear, you know. And I zip around the back side of the store and I come up over here and there he is checking out in front of me. And I'm like, you know, I'd already pulled up, so it'd be weird if I, you know. So I was like, I'm wrestling with who I am, you know, like my identity. I'm wrestling through it. And so he checks out. And I just go real slow through the checkout. Hopefully he'll be gone and I'll say, God, I'm sorry, you know, that kind of a thing. And then I walk out into the parking lot. I'm walking across. There he's sitting in his truck. He hasn't started it. And so suddenly I get this profound courage and I go walk up to him. He had just pulled around. I walk up to him and he rolls the window down. I went like this. He rolls the window down and he's looking at me. I said, sir, I just really feel that God wants you to know that He loves you. And he goes, oh, yeah? Well, whatever turns you on. And he rolls his window up and peeled out of the parking lot. And I went, the only thing I could think of, it doesn't turn me on. I mean, I couldn't think of anything else. And I was sitting there, literally in the parking lot going, thanks a lot, God. I literally felt like I really missed that. That was the thing. But you know what God told me later on after I calmed down? 10 minutes later, he said, I've sent a lot of people to that man. You're number 3 or 4 or something like that. And that man knows I'm after his heart of all the people that keep saying it to him, but it angered him because he's running from God. And so it's none of my business. If that's a little planting of a little tiny seed, it's profound to God because he wants the body of Christ to engage. And I just feel like it doesn't matter if you got rejection. I stopped a lady one time, so certain that I was supposed to pray for her. And I says, ma'am, can I pray for you? She goes, no, thank you. And she walked away in a huff. And I was like, well, the weird. You know, I didn't understand that kind of a thing. But it's like God is training you. No matter the rejection or whatever comes your way, who you are to him is so valuable. You're an ambassador of reconciliation. And it can be in your own way, your personality. You don't have to be dramatic unless God asks you to be dramatic. And on and on and on. You just be who you are in the world. And I feel like God is asking us today, step out. Do it. Break the mold. Go ahead. Make some mistakes, but make some mistakes encouraged now. Not from not saying anything anymore or praying for someone or encouraging them. Steve Dedimore came up to me and told me he just got healed this morning when he was praying for other people. Something that he pulled his back out, and he was praying for other people, and God put his back right into place this morning. Is that true, Steve? Step out. Pray for people. Be out there. Ask God, who am I really to you? Who am I really to you? And this will go into every part of your life. I really feel strongly that God wants to touch some people today, who they are in God. And so we're going to just open the altar up. There's some people that have had debilitating fear about who God's called them to be. There's some people that don't understand, you know, the intimacy of the relationship God wants them to have with Him, meaning that they're very busy out here doing things for God and He wants to draw you back. It doesn't mean He stops. You stop everything you're doing, because God teaches you profound humility when you get out and serve and you take risks and you go to do those things. He teaches you humility. He's trying to restore your soul. But for some of you, you don't know who you really are inside to God. There's some of you in the room today that need to feel a touch of the Lord in the area of Him loving you. Whatever it is, we're just going to open the altar. I'm going to release the ministry teams. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come right now. So Holy Spirit, we just pray for your grace upon us right now. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in this room right now? Just feel free to just come forward. Why don't you just stand together? Let's just worship God. Just come forward when you feel led to. So many times society labels us based on their understanding of life. Depressed, anxious, alcoholic, homosexual, adulterer, murderer, glutton, violent. If you're born again, you're none of those things. If you had the world even identify you as a depressed individual, I feel like God wants to turn that around now. He wants to change your thinking about who you actually are. Are you anxious? He wants to take your fear away. I just want to release the ministry teams to come up. Colossians 1:3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. If you're born again, you're in this wonderful hidden place in God. He's protecting you. He wants you to come into this fullness right now. Thank you, Lord. I actually feel the Lord saying it's over. Some of the things that you've been dealing with long term, it's going to be over. It's over. It is time for us to quit thinking about blossoming in God, and you got to choose God. Let's say this, show your desperation right now by evaluating how much time you're connecting with God throughout the week. Where are you doing it? Are you just performing for Him? Or are you actually becoming His son on a soulless level, His daughter on a soulless level? He wants to lift you up this morning. If you feel a tug at all, I just encourage you to come forward. Even if you don't get prayer right away or not at all, just connect with Him. This is between you and Him right now.
feel the Lord saying that there's many in the room that have an evaluation of themselves. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, my evaluation is so much better than yours. There's some of you right now just need to hear his voice and speak right to your spirit and say, this is who you are. There's some of you that are doing way better than you think you are in the grace of God. That's a glorious reality. If you need to feel that in God, just come forward right now. You're doing way better than you think you are. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your leadership. We thank you, Lord, that you are walking with us, that you're leading us into these places. Thank you, Lord. There's someone in the room that doesn't know God but wants to know him. I just encourage you to come forward right now. Lord, we thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. I'm just going to go ahead and dismiss you. If you need to go, you can go. We're going to keep this a prayer room for a little bit. And if anybody else wants to come up, we're still up here. God bless you.